So, I'm Janine Skipper. I've been living here in Flagstaff since 1997. I'm a professor of sociology at NEU, and I've been having the pleasure of getting to teach since 2016 here at FIMC. I have three children. One of them's in college right now, but she's managed to make her way up from Tucson to Flagstaff while we have this flexibility of these times. So she's around too. And I have two little ones and wonderful husbands. So that's just a little bit about me. And tonight, I just want to share a little bit about the program. I will offer a Dharma talk, probably about 40 minutes. Then we'll have sit for meditation about 25 to 30 minutes. And included in that silent sit, I will offer a metta or loving kindness guided meditation toward the end of that. Then we'll have some announcements and a break. At that time, some of you may want to go, and those who would like to stay will have a little break and come back for some discussion together. So, Yansu, I'm going to ask for your technical support. At this point, I'm supposed to spotlight the teacher,
Yeah.
but I'm
So,
not seeing that.
if you look at the three dots next to your picture,
I see it.
should, yeah, okay.
Well, I see. Okay. Let's see. I'm almost there. So it's spotlighting
You should spotlight you. You want to just, oh no, that would mess up the recording.
No, you go ahead and mute yourself.
Okay.
I can spotlight myself, and then we'll get started. Okay. All right. Well, tonight's talk, I'm calling Recognizing Divisiveness Within. And I'm going to start by describing some of my own mind states throughout the week and emotional experiences. And as I'm doing that, you might reflect, and you're going to have some time to reflect after I share some of mine. I'll offer you some guided meditation into your own states of mind over the past week, but you might resonate with some of these and you might not. I'm thinking of the day before the election. Amazingly enough, that was just 1 week ago today, last Monday. And I was experiencing some of the real, what we call in Buddhism, the poisons. I was experiencing particularly hatred and delusion, but the three poisons are greed, hatred, and delusion. And I was just watching my mind swimming in a sea of hatred and delusion the day before the election. And I was admitting to myself, and I think this is part of the practice, is just sort of recognizing what our states of mind are, and being honest. Kind of like brutally honest with ourselves about what those states of mind are. And if I'm to be honest, I would say that it crossed my mind that if certain people would die, everything would be so much better. And I was just sitting with these states of mind, the poisons. I was imagining mayhem in the streets. And I was creating these protective schemes in my mind, like, how would I protect my family if there was mass chaos? You might remember that just a week ago, there were predictions of all kinds of you know, kind of scary experiences. And so I was swimming in some of those mind projections. Like, how would I protect my family if there was mass chaos? And I have a friend who stockpiled food and ammunition in her garage leading up to the election. And she joked about being one of those fringe paranoid people. And it's really reasonable to protect ourselves and our loved ones when we feel threatened, right? And my friend, she acted on her thoughts and actually did that. I had thoughts, but I didn't act on those. And thank goodness that we don't act on all of our thoughts, right? But some of them we do. And just thinking about how many of us construct similar scenarios of protection or even heroism in the face of threat and distress. So then there was election day and the days leading up to this past Saturday. And my mind states completely shifted, 100%. Now I was in a state of complete anticipation and restlessness. It's very hard to focus. My mind continually was moving around. I found myself constantly looking at different news streams, which I never do. I occasionally want to see what the grand story is of the day, but I don't spend a lot of time with my mind in the news and watching and listening, constant vigilance around the news. But that's where I was. And then Saturday morning came and I had this like sudden experience of relief and hope and even elation. So all within a week's time, and we can go through these types of experiences, you know, within an hour or even a few minutes, you know, the minds shifted from the poisons into the state of anticipation, restlessness, into the state of relief and hope and even elation. And the practice really reframes these experiences. So it helped me to step back at points during each of these periods throughout the week. And I would ask myself this question: what's kind, compassionate, and true? So, regarding the way the poisons of hatred and delusion were arising within, you know, first I was fixated with the way poisons operated in others. I could see it so clearly how the current president was, you know, focused on his just delusion and hatred of others. And I could see how that was operating in the president, in his followers. And I was obsessively focused on how horrible I thought that that was. And yet, when I asked myself what's true in the moment, I could really see how these poisons were playing out in my own mind. And without the practice of stepping back and watching the thoughts arise and pass, maybe I would have been preparing for a war, like my friends. But asking myself what's real and true now, I could just see that the only thing that was real was that my mind was busy creating this projected future, this idea of reality. That's what was real in that moment. Not the projections themselves, just what the mind was doing. And the next place my mind tried to jump to was self-judgment, like what a horrible person I am for thinking these things. But you know, after years and years of meditation, we start to realize that our minds project and create all kinds of scenarios. We live, you know, if you're sitting in meditation hour after hour, day after day, year after year, you run the gamut of the human experience. You go through all kinds of things. So the trained mind starts to see, you know, sees judgment, I may even cut off judgment at the pass, replacing it with compassion. So when the poisons arise, the greed, hatred, or delusion, we can apply an antidote, and this is compassion. And so that's what I worked on doing. I basically, when I'm applying compassion to my experience, I use Krista Neff's approach. Krista Neff has some incredible practices. You can look her up online for self-compassion. And so I began with a sense of kindness we begin with kindness to ourselves. You can do this through some self-talk. Thich Nhat Hanh has some wonderful phrases like, you know, darling, it's okay. Or I would say to myself things like, it's normal that the mind creates and reacts, that this is not an unusual experience. And I would sort of gently kind of talk to myself, replacing some of the language of the hatred and delusion with some of the compassion, mostly toward myself. I wasn't really applying it outside of myself. I was bringing the practice, within, and just, what does self-compassion look like in this moment? The other pieces of self-compassion is recognizing our common humanity. So I would recognize I am not the only person experiencing this type of distress that's leading me into poisonous thought patterns. Now, this isn't to dismiss or, you know, to say it's okay. It's just to recognize the reality of greed, hatred, and delusion. That certainly not to kind of say, well, I have greed, hatred, and delusion, so that's okay, and I should act on it. Of course not. It's more like recognizing this is what the mind does. This is part of our common humanity. And then I apply mindfulness. It's part of a self-compassion practice. It's being mindful, just recognizing, watching the arising and the passing of these poisons. So I'll also talk about some of the other mind states that I entered into, but I'd like to pause right now, do a little bit of a guided meditation, and take you back through your week and see if there's points during the week where you can apply compassion. So just offering you my example. It doesn't have to be your example at all. But wanting you to kind of tap into what your experiences have been and where there might be some places where compassion would be helpful. We can apply it after the fact. It's very helpful, actually, to kind of go back, look, and see where compassion can be applied. And then we bring that into our practice more and more. So I invite you to close your eyes. Bring your attention within your body, within your breath. Centering yourself. Watching the rise and the fall of your stomach as you breathe in and out, like the air as it moves in and out of your nose. Bringing ourselves into this moment. And remembering, taking a little walk into the past, trying to recall your mind states of the week. Your experiences before the election, remembering how you felt in the days leading up to the election, seeing if you can connect again to the days after the election, before there was a call. When the results were coming in, some of the more difficult states that you might have been experiencing, you can also remember the post-election when the results came in, when the election was called. Remember your emotions at each stage this week. Noticing how they shifted as the week went on. Perhaps bringing your attention into one particular memory that might have been a little harder to bear. See if you can apply some compassion to that state of mind. There are kind words you could say to yourself about that state of mind, as if you were talking to your dearest friend or child. What would you tell them? And see if you could say that to yourself. Now connect with our common humanity, recognizing how others experienced the same emotion, might have had different thought patterns around it, but the emotional state itself is part of our common humanity. See if you can connect with that. And then the third piece of self-compassion is bringing a gentle mindfulness to the experience. Just noticing that experience, even how the memory of it, what that feels like, bringing mindfulness right here, right now, to that emotional state that you're evoking through your memory. Seeing if you can touch how it feels in the body, to have experienced that emotional state. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes. So another question that I asked myself, or that I ask myself often actually, is what needs healing? So prior to the election and those days after the election leading up to the final call, I spent a lot of time thinking that what needs healing is divisiveness in this country. But this practice asks us to look within ourselves, not just project what's outside of ourselves, and to really ask what needs healing within. So the question, I turned it around, asking, how does divisiveness live within myself? Because I had been spending a lot of time ruminating over these questions, like how could they, right? They believe such and such, and how could they think that way? And through the practice, I ask, how is my mind divided, creating a we, a versus a them? And then the question becomes, how do I heal the divisiveness in my mind? And we can see how our minds are prone to constructing reality based on ideas of the past and projections about the future. It's not just them who are deluded in their constructed realities. It's all of us. We are all to some degree delusional because our thoughts create our reality. If we're thinking beings, we're creating our reality with our thoughts. So I'm going to offer us another small mini guided meditation based on this question, what needs healing within. So again, I invite you to close your eyes. And again, just recall your week, the shifts and emotions that you've been through throughout your week, recognizing it wasn't all just about the election. It was about all kinds of things going on in your lives. And bringing your attention to the different emotional states you've been in. And then just asking yourself this question, what needs healing within? Noticing whatever arises in response to that question. What needs healing within? Something you can spend a longer period of time in meditation around. When you feel ready, you can open your eyes or keep them closed. Through this practice, we come back to reality with a big R. Reality can only ever be found in this moment, right here, right now. And reality isn't stagnant, right? It's ever-changing. So greed, hatred, delusion, they arise and pass. If I grasp onto them or identify with them in some way, I create monstrous conditions and perpetuate the same problems I see being created out there when those others create their realities by fixing on greed, hatred, or delusion. And while I was waiting for the results, I could also notice the anticipation and the restlessness as they arise and as they pass. So if I grasp onto them or identify with them in some way, or even if I try to push them away, I can get lost in this endless loop of telling and retelling stories, of building up scenarios of fear, of trying to control this ever-changing reality in some way, building impatience and losing the opportunity to experience life as it exists right now. So as I told you, I was really just fixated on listening to the news for those bunch of days. I was planted in NPR radio for election results. And meanwhile, the weather in Flagstaff was beautiful. And I was missing this last week of the extra month of summer that we've been getting. Because I wasn't in life as it exists right now. I was grasping on, you know, I was in this endless loop of telling and retelling stories of the mind. And I had temporary reprieve from that. It wasn't complete loss, especially with the mindfulness practice. After the election was called, I experienced relief, hope, and elation, recognizing that they arise and they pass. So if I grasp onto them or if I identify with them in some way, you know, there's like this tendency, I just want to have this hope forever. I want to feel this well, this happy forever. But if I grasp onto that, not only does it arise and pass and I'm going to experience suffering, but I'll also build up my ego. So I saw a lot of messages like, we won or we did it. And yes, our vote matters. And it matters who leads our country. You know, as we've seen, that impacts a whole lot of people. But if I grasp onto the relief, the hope, and the elation, creating an identity out of those passing emotions, that feeds the divided consciousness inside. If I identify with the we that won, I'm creating a divided identity within myself. So holding compassionate space for our experiences allow us to recognize the divisiveness within. And then we have an opportunity to heal our internal divisions. And I really want to emphasize this importance of really recognizing what these emotional states we're experiencing are, acknowledging them and letting them arise. And of course, letting them pass. And we don't need to judge these experiences. This is part of our common humanity, but we don't need to grasp onto them and identify with them either. That's where we get into a lot of trouble. And I think even now, you know, we can experience, you know, the way that the mind divides and creates an us versus them, and just recognize it, that this is our experience, not just other experience. Although others outside of our own experience may really be feeding those seeds of divisiveness. And we can ask ourselves, not what they're doing and how they're doing that, but what are we doing? How are we feeding sown seeds of our own divisiveness? Or how are we recognizing when that exists in us and how we can bring compassion to the experience and mindfulness, the arising and the passing and letting it go?
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.